Well, it's that time to pull up a chair, kick back, and get ready for some great sales stories. With the only pioneer I know out paving, blazing a path through the wilderness of sales today, the one and only pioneer on the 405, the pilgrim on the 405, the personal sales trainer extraordinaire, Will Crist.
Well, thank you, and welcome to the Pilgrim Talks on this warm September day. You know, what I've been discovering is that even though the market has changed, salespeople haven't changed a whole lot. They're still doing the same thing they've been doing before, probably because the CEO or their sales manager is telling them to do the same thing, just work at it harder, take more time, make those calls. I was talking with Jill Kornrath today in preparation for our conversation on the Sales Lead Management Association Radio Hour next week. And what she said is that people don't want sales training today. What they want are solutions to the problem. They want to find out how they can increase their revenue, how they can reduce their costs, how they can maintain their current clients, and all the time they realize that they've got to develop their people to do that. Now, there's lots of ways to do that when you begin to identify the problems, identify the goals. It doesn't always mean hiring new people. So as we begin to talk with CEOs today who are struggling because they maybe laid off their entire upper management group because of cost cutting, maybe because they're seeing this change in the marketplace, CEOs who have that difficulty of trying to staff folks while trying to save money will find some very interesting solutions in today's show. We're fortunate to have with us the COO of a company that has just blossomed in this down economy, Sirius Interim Executive Solutions. The COO is Kristen McAllister. Welcome, Kristen.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I've been looking forward to this because I think that you're going to be able to tell us something about how CEOs today can, in fact, increase their staff without making a huge commitment. So tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell me a little bit about Sirius Interim Executive Solutions. What do we want to tell CEOs about who you are?
One of the easiest things when I'm in front of a CEO, I love asking three questions. And I don't think there's ever been a time where a CEO didn't tell me no to all three questions. One of them is, have you ever been faced with a situation where you needed some executive help, you needed some additional talent in your organization, but you couldn't afford someone full time? Another question is, have you just let go one of your key leadership team, one of your executives, and you need some time in order to find the right person, but you don't want to take all of that additional management upon yourself while you're looking for someone? The third one is, have you ever been faced with one of those challenges? You have a strategic plan you need to implement, a new market you want to go into, a new line of products or solutions you want to go after, and you just don't have that expertise or the resources internally. How do you get these done within reason without bringing on a full-time executive or the cost of a full-time executive? And that's really what we do, is help solve and answer those questions. So when someone does get faced with that situation, we can offer them a short-term or part-time executive with the exact expertise and experience of what they need at an affordable price.
Well, let's talk about what it means to have an interim versus what it means to hire somebody full-time. I can imagine a CEO saying, I want to control my people. I want them to be loyal to me. I don't want them to be, you know, thinking about something else while they're working on my dime. Tell me about the quality of people that you employ, and what's the strategy for helping that CEO to feel confident about this interim executive?
The strategy that we employ is really finding a bench of top talent, we call them grade A executives, who have the experience of working in a variety of different areas and matching them with the expertise that the CEOs need. Fortunately, they're not running into that downtime with the executives because they're only paying for the time that they're in their offices working on their stuff and being productive. That's more of a pay-as-you-go, rent-an-executive, whatever term you want to put to it. So I don't have to worry about that. And because that executive is very focused on delivering the results that the CEO is looking for, they're keeping the staff focused. They're inside their offices working with the staff, embedding those skill sets. And the workers are more productive because they have someone to go to. They have someone to reach out to and to help guide them towards those end results.
Now, talk to me about what you see as the alternative to using an interim. If somebody's going to hire an executive, what are they doing in negotiating the contract? What happens if it doesn't work out?
Typically, when CEOs hire, and I've been faced with this in working with small companies myself, we ran into the first question that you're asking yourself is, what can I afford? So you usually end up with less than you need because that's all you can afford. You can't afford the full-time executive talent. When you do look at bringing someone on full-time, you've got the search time. As you're looking for what you need over the next 3, 5, 8 years, however long you plan that full-time person to be in there, that's a lot of ground to cover. You don't know what your company's going to be like in 3 years and what skill set you need. On top of that, there's the benefits, the bonus program. Most executives nowadays, they want an exit package. So in the event they leave, regardless of the reason, how much do you then need to pay them upon them leaving? There's quite a few components that go into those negotiations.
Well, that sounds sort of like a prenup. If we break up, this is how much money you get. Is that right?
It's almost worse because inevitably you know there is a breakup. You know that that executive is going to leave at one point or another. So this exit package is guaranteed that you will pay it out at one point or another. At least a prenup, you have a 50-50 chance that it's going to last forever.
Now, does Sirius require that kind of exit package for at the end of their engagement?
No, we don't. We have a hires today, fires tomorrow. There's no long-term commitments. It's you pay on a weekly basis as you go. And once you're done, either we achieve the results or for any reason, you are done with the executive. You've accomplished the goals. They've done what they need to. They came in to do. Let us know, and we can pull them out on 30 days' notice or 3 hours' notice. There's
wow.
No long-term commitments.
So, since my mission is helping businesses in Orange County thrive, if there's a business out there that needs some executive leadership, needs a VP for sales or a sales manager, needs an HR executive, but they can't afford a full-time person right now, and they're really kind of limping along with the CEO trying to do all of those things, or maybe having an administrative assistant try to fill in, is that possible that this could be a solution for them?
Absolutely. And you now have the best of both worlds. You can have that top-level expertise that you need as an executive, but now you can afford them because you don't need them in your office 5 days a week. You may only need them 2 days a month or 2 days a week. So now you've got an alternative choice to the full-time individual or someone just advising you on the outside, and you and your team are still left to do all the work. This is someone who actually comes on the inside and becomes part of your executive team. You now have that additional leadership in there working with your internal team to help them grow, help them develop your company.
All right. So suppose I'm the CEO and I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, if this interim executive comes in, sits around my strategy table, becomes part of my team for one day a week, what's he or she doing the other 4 days a week? Is she taking my information, my ideas, my creativity, my intellectual property, and taking that to the next company they're going to?
Absolutely not. It's more of almost a reverse. Everything is held confidentially. However, that other executive typically is in at least one other company, and they're continually seeing new things, seeing new ways of solving problems. We do not place an executive in a competitor, the same industry, in any way where there would be a conflict. But now they are in other companies, and they're continuing to learn and grow and using those learnings and applying them to your business. They're not taking away or stealing from your business. So you almost get a reverse effect.
So where does Sirius get these interim executives? Are these people who've been fired by other companies? These people who've been retired and they're kind of beyond the energy curve that's necessary for today's business? Where are they coming from?
We get them from quite a few different areas. Quite a few of them are, they've built a company, they've sold it, they're not ready to build another one of their own, but they still want to be of use. They want to pass on all of their learnings and help other CEOs not make the same mistakes. There are others who are tired of the 70, 80-hour corporate work life and being on the road full-time. We've got one interim executive who does a 4-day work week working with two different companies, 2 days and 2 days, and then coaches his son's soccer team. So they've got more of a quality of life, and they're enjoying that, and they want to sustain it. Our average age is actually in the late 40s, early 50s of our interim executives. Mm. We go as 35.
Wow. Wow. So what should, what kind of issues, again, what kind of issues would cause a CEO to want to be talking to you? I'm thinking out loud for a moment. If I had a team of 3 or 4 executives working in my company at the senior level, I would be concerned that one of them would come in and give me notice, or that, God forbid, something tragic would happen, and I would wind up with an empty seat tomorrow. Does it make any sense that they would build that relationship with you and be talking with you before any of those traumatic events happen, just on the off case that something did happen?
We believe that we can help out a CEO regardless of what's going on. Every company we speak to, every CEO we work with, is going through some type of a transition period or some type of a growth spurt at every stage or every point of their company. We highly recommend to just have us sit down with you and just take a look at your company. Take a look at what opportunities are possibly being missed because you don't have the internal expertise. We can typically deploy on 2 to 4 days' notice. So we don't necessarily need a long time span. We can jump in and help you at any point and react fairly quickly. It's more a matter of, we do this for a living. We talk to numerous CEOs on a weekly basis. Let's talk through where you're at, what stage you are in your company. Where do you want to be at a year from now? You should always be hiring today for where you want to be at tomorrow. Don't hire for your needs today. Let's help you get there sooner and ahead of your competition.
All right. So now talk to me a little bit about Sirius. Where does Sirius service? Is it only Southern California? Is it nationally, globally?
We service the United States on a national basis. We have regional offices in Orange County and the D.C., Virginia area. We do have clients all over the U.S., regardless of where the corporate office is and regardless of where the interim lives, without the expertise and the right person for the period of time needed.
And how is the late unpleasantness, how has that affected Sirius, this chaos in the marketplace?
I almost hate to say that our sometimes feel bad saying our business has actually exploded in the past 18 to 24 months. The CEOs that we work with, and if you look back a couple of years, we've had the individuals we work with say, I want to own my executives. I want them to be here with me full time. The economic downturn hit, and all of a sudden that wasn't quite the need. It was more of, I need to get to my end result, but for as little overhead as I possibly can. Our solution fit that niche beautifully. You no longer have to own that executive and all the costs that come with it on a full-time basis, and the need to outdo your competition and gain market share became much more prevalent. And your planning cycle, CEOs out there, I'm sure you noticed all of a sudden your three-year planning cycle went to 6, 12, and 18 months, no longer 3 and 5 years. And so the skill set that you need and the expertise you need turned much quicker than it used to. They found that the marketing person they need for the next 6 months isn't necessarily the marketing executive they need next year. And so our solution set really, we responded to the marketplace and came up with, really adjusted our business model to meet what those CEOs were faced with. And how can we give them a solution that fits their budget and fits their needs so that they didn't have to choose one or another?
So here's another example of a highly customer-centric company, paying attention to the marketplace and then adjusting your services, your offerings, to meet the specific needs of that marketplace.
Absolutely. First thing we do is sit down and just listen.
Mm-hmm.
We have and no now, idea who's going to be the right fit or what they need.
Yeah. What I'm also finding interesting is that those needs may well change 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months out as they move through various stages in their development.
Absolutely. And why not have an executive come in who has already been with grown a company from 10 to 15 million and you're struggling to get past that $5 million mark? You can now afford to bring that individual in and help you get to the 10 and then 15 and 20 million mark.
Okay. All right. So what should a CEO, if you could talk to the CEOs now or the senior managers who also are going to be hiring executive people, what would you say to them? What would be helpful to them right now to begin thinking about preparing for?
I'm sorry, for some reason I didn't hear that. If you can repeat it one more time.
Saying if you could talk to CEOs right now, knowing what you know about the marketplace, what would you suggest that they do in the next couple of weeks to prepare for these inevitable vacancies in their senior management or these unexpected changes?
The biggest thing that I would say is determine where you want to be at 6 months and 12 months from now. That's always the first question and the only question that really you need to know when you're looking to bring the right person in, whether you're speaking to us or speaking to someone else. First decide where you want to get to, what results you're looking for, and then fill for that.
Okay, so you're working from their strategic plan.
Absolutely. And it is strategic planning time. I'm sure most of the CEOs out there are hopefully looking at their marked-up strategic plan that they've been working on for 2010 and adjusting it for 2011. Certainly those who are bringing it out of the archives and looking at it for the first or second time and shaking their head, where did the time go? Those are the ones that I would really recommend to be the first to contact
so
us.
You're not telling me that you come across companies and CEOs who haven't looked at their strategic plan in 9 months, are you?
I hate to be sarcastic, but I'm sure most everyone listening, at least 80 to 90%, are nodding their heads, completely understanding of priorities, daily life, daily challenges, your customer, everything gets in the way. And your staff to handle what it is, the day-to-day business. You're not staffed necessarily to plan and grow your business for the next year. That's really where we come into play from the outside and into your company on a short-time and part, short-term and part-time basis. But yes, you know as well as I know. It happens to us all.
All right. So when you come into a business, do you help them take a look at their strategic plan and articulate it? Not that you would be a strategic planner, but do you help them find it, get it out of that drawer, dust it off, and take a look at where they are relative to that plan?
Absolutely. We can help them do that, as well as identify where the breakdowns are and what specific expertise they need in order to have those goals that the strategic plan is based off of actually become reality sooner than later.
So would you be willing to come in and talk with the CEO to help them rediscover their strategic plan, take a look at it? Would it be okay if they looked at it and said, yes, that's where we want to go, but we're not going to hire an interim right now? We'll take a look at that 3 months from now. Would that be an okay outcome of a sales call?
Absolutely. We are there to help them figure out what they need, and they may not even be ready yet. They may want to put some other things into place, but we can help them walk them through the questions they need to be asking their current team, the steps that they can be taking, whether they use us and we're the solution or in their internal team or someone else is the solution. It's about helping the CEOs get results out of the actions that they're taking rather than just ending up at the same starting point.
We are more than
happy to help them do that.
So because my mission is to help businesses in Orange County thrive, am I hearing from you that I might be asking people how they're doing on their strategic plan, and if their eyebrows go down, be a little strange that they haven't looked at it or don't know where it is, that might be a place to suggest that they give you a call to find out what kind of staffing they might need, what kind of interim possibilities are available to help them move forward, and maybe even just to take a critical look at that strategic plan.
Absolutely. And we will bring in an individual, not just our business. You won't end up with just a salesperson or business development. You're going to end business development individual. We will bring in an executive who has actually had some experience in that area, experience with your industry or similar industries, so that you can walk away at the end of the session with some concrete action items to walk forward with. And again, that's whether whether we can help you or whether we can just help guide you to your next steps. Absolutely. Make some progress on it. Make that phone call and take that next step forward.
That sounds like a great offer. That sounds like a great offer. Not a sales call, but a call to come to take a look at strategic plans to see what kinds of things could be done to help that executive and that team to achieve the goals that they have, and maybe to help them find the resources on an interim basis that wouldn't tax out their cash flow right now, but might help them get to the next level by saving some costs, saving some money, and more efficiently helping to increase that revenue or retain their current clients better or to develop their people better.
I could not have said it better. Absolutely.
Good. Well, all right. So tell me, Kristen, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, what should they do?
They can give us a call at 949-250-0500. They're more than welcome to take a look at our website, seriousinterim.com. That's CERIUSINTERIM.
And what was that telephone number again?
949-250-0500.
Well, Kristen, that's wonderful. I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us. For those of you who came in later, we've been talking with Kristen McAllister, the COO of Sirius Interim Executive Solutions. Kristen, thank you so much for being on the show, and I look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Have a wonderful day.
Well, we have a great guest that's going to come on after the break and talk to us a little bit about how we can use social marketing in a very interesting way to help bring information to potential clients, to help break down some of the doorways and silos that keep us out. But first, we want to hear from our sponsor.
Five to 20% of every company's marketing budget is spent each year to create just two things, sales inquiries and sales leads. And yet only 10 to 25% of the demand is ever pursued by a company's sales channel. On the Sales Lead Management Association website, you'll find 250-plus articles from 55 authors covering both B2B and B2C, sales lead inquiry, and sales lead generation. During our most recent quarter, we had over 20,000 visitors and 51,000 pages viewed. So if you haven't already, go to view www.theslma.com and sign up for your free membership today. That's www.theslma.com for the Sales Lead Management Association. And now back to Will Crist and his next guest.
I was speaking today to a guest who's going to be on the Sales Lead Management Association radio station next week, Jill Conrath. And Jill is a very interesting author who, while she works with Fortune 1000 companies in speaking engagements across the country, the real content of her book, Snap Selling, her first book was Selling to Big Companies, and then her second book was Snap Selling. The content of that book is really focused at SMB businesses. It's really the small to medium business-sized businesses that she is trying to approach and to help improve their sales. We're going to be interviewing her next Thursday at 5 o'clock, and so I invite you to come in and listen to her or pick it up on the podcast or on iTunes, but she will be a very interesting guest. And today we're going to spend a little time with the producer and owner of OC Talk Radio to talk a little bit about some of the interesting different things that salespeople might do, companies might do, to make a contact with those decision makers who are going to make decisions in a B2B environment. And so today we'll be interviewing Paul Roberts. So, Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for allowing me to come from behind the curtain. I feel like the Wizard of Oz.
Yes, there we are. Well, but you're much more impressive than the Wizard of Oz when he comes out from behind the curtain. Let me tell you that. So, Paul, tell us how you got into this whole thing of octalkradio.net.
Well, like many of the people who listen, I was involved as a service professional. I was a marketing guy. A PR guru, that's what I did pretty much for 20 years. And more of my clients kept saying, what do I do with social media? I know I got to be in it, but I don't know how I get any ROI. I don't know how I get any return out of it. And so I really tried to look into what's the meaning of social media? What is the promise? What's the potential? And it really boils down to one thing, starting a conversation. That's all you're trying to do. When you post to your blog, when you go on Twitter or LinkedIn or whatever, you're hoping to, yes, tell people, hey, look at me, I'm here. But more importantly, you want them to start a conversation. You want to show them what you know. You want to show them who you know. And more importantly, you want to get to know them. So you give them something for free in order to start this conversation. And it occurred to me, maybe because I'd been in real radio 100 years ago, that the easiest way to do this was to actually talk to people. If the point's to start a conversation, then actually have a conversation with somebody, let that stream live, and then record it and store it so it becomes a traditional podcast as well. And that was really the birth of this whole idea.
So what I'm hearing is social media is more than just Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn. Is that right?
It really is. You know, nobody's really sort of defined what it is. We know it's all those alternative ways to reach people through the internet. The internet is still being figured out how we use this tool to communicate with people. We know that all the traditional forms of media are rapidly dying out in their traditional forms and being reborn in online versions. Look at the growth of internet radio, music stations like Pandora and Last FM and all these others, Sirius FM. All these things are moving online. Newspapers are moving online. As they go out of business in print form, they go online and find a new way of doing business. The same thing even with TV shows and TV stations. So I thought, you know, why not talk radio? And how does it fit in? It really is, in my opinion, another form of social media. It's the same thing you're trying to do with a blog or Twitter or Facebook. You're trying to put a message out there and hope that somebody hears it and responds. Only in this case, it really is a dialogue. It really is a direct conversation. You're talking to somebody, and they can call in, as they can on this show or any others. They can call in and join in the conversation, either immediately or later.
All right. So social media has something to do with relationship. It has something to do with conversation. It has something to do with sharing for free. It seems to me that's a whole lot of how at least I saw the musicians using MP3s to share music for free. Is that anything like what we're doing here?
It's exactly what we're doing here. You know, you are obviously a well-known expert in your field. So how do you get that word out to people? And more importantly, how do you give them some flavor, some sense of what you do and how you do it? What is it that's different than the multitude of other people that claim to be sales trainers? What makes you so well thought of here in Orange County? And so if you can give them a sense of that by actually talking to them and talking, and on top of that, give them some free content, some share some ideas that you gather through your pilgrimage as you wander the world, as you say, and run into these people, you bring people together. You're the connector. You gather that information, you share it through your radio show, through your blog, through everything else that you do, and in doing that, people get to know you, people get to understand who you are, and hopefully start a conversation with you that maybe you can help them directly, or maybe it's somebody else that you know that can help them directly. That's the power, that's the potential of the internet. It's different than any other business model. It's very much a community sharing type of model.
And that's what you've called this radio station, right? This has been a community radio station. OC Talk Radio
absolutely
is a community station.
When I looked at the handful, again, if you look at the statistics, and there's many of them on our website, octalkradio.net, many of them talk about the growth in all the other forms of internet media, radio in particular. Nobody has a radio in their office anymore. If you listen to music at work, it's probably a CD you're playing, or more and more, it's an online radio service or radio station. Same thing with videos and everything else. You know, you're probably not watching it on a VHS anymore, or even a DVD. You're watching it on YouTube or online. So I thought immediately, gee, there must be a million people doing talk radio. And there's only a handful. And the few that are, in my opinion, are missing the boat. They're trying to be all things for all people. There's an excellent station out of Phoenix called Voice America, but it's reach the whole world through their platform. Well, I don't think that's what the internet's about. The internet's about narrow niche marketing. It's about, as the book, that famous book, The Long Tail, talks about, finding some narrow niche. It's narrow casting. And so you're trying to find a narrow niche of people and form a community around that, whether it's a community of people interested in some subject, whether it's a community of people who all share the same profession or passion, or a community of people that live in some locale. This is that. This is, I think, the first of its kind. I think there'll be many of them. It's a community radio station that comes to you live over the internet instead of live through the air.
Well, I pick up on something that's, I think, equally important in that in addition to accumulating an audience that becomes a community, it's also generating a conversation that otherwise would not go on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, I'm thinking of CEOs, and right now, in many cases, CEOs are siloed. They're being protected behind immense immense bastions of bricks and concrete because they're crazy busy. They don't have time for people to call and talk with them. On the other hand, if they don't have that human contact, if they don't have places where they're getting new ideas, if they don't have that kind of dialogue that happens in a relaxed a place where they're not threatened, where they're not going to be trying to, and somebody's not trying to sell to them, if they don't have that, they're going to be isolated and their productivity is going to go down.
And isn't that what you and all the other sales trainers that I've come to know through this station are always preaching against, that isolation, that problem that if you're not in touch with your customers, you're not in touch with your organization, you're not in touch with your community as a whole, the dangers that brings. So I think you're absolutely right. This is a way for them to reach out and share information with others, if for no other reason than they hope that, you know, somebody can benefit from it and maybe they'll get something in return. It's a new world of doing business. It isn't about me anymore. It's about how can I help others, and in the process of doing that, you know, help myself.
I also found that it's a very interesting source of information, and I'm thinking particularly about, you and I have talked about radio shows that would be valuable, and I know that one client that you're talking with, U-turn.com. Mm-hmm. Mark Babbitt was on the show. Mm-hmm. Mark and Bill Walsh on this show, and in talking with him, what they want to do right now, they're finding that this Gen Y group of kids is very, very different, and they told me that they had found this to be true as they tried to recruit interns to come on to their site. And in that conversation, what they began to tell me is that they were learning so much from the individual conversations that they were having, that this was a valuable source of information for them. And I suggested to them that getting a radio show
over the internet
where they could interview two or three people from various colleges could be a real source of information for them.
Absolutely. You know, there's so many benefits to doing this medium. You know, it doesn't cost an arm and a leg. There's obviously a small production charge for putting it together, and you do have to pass some tests. We're not trying to put on pet psychic shows here at OC Talk Radio. We're not trying to put on, you know, political points of view. We're trying to do something that benefits the community. So we're focusing on businesses and community groups and associations. But having said that, you know, what do groups like U-Turn or organizations like U-Turn get out of it? They get three or four things that I don't think they can get anywhere else. And the first is what you're talking about. They get access to a youthful audience. The youth of today, I'm in my mid-50s, and my daughter is now in community college. She doesn't read a newspaper. She doesn't sit and watch television. She doesn't even really listen to a radio station anymore. So how do you reach her? You reach her through all those mobile devices that she carries around plugged into her brain all the time. The iPhone, the iPod, the iPad, the iThis, you know, it's all internet driven. And surprisingly, even my generation, us who, you know, you wouldn't think of as internet oriented, are becoming tethered to this device. Every bit of information I get is probably through the internet. Every bit of information I put out about myself, my website, my blog, my email, all of that is communicated from me to the world through the internet. So it's a way to gather information, it's a way to put out information, and it's a way to gather, it's a point, really the only point at which we as gather together as tribes. You know, there's that famous book by Seth Godin about, called Tribes, how people are trying to form communal connections again here. And where do you do that? You do that through the internet. You do that through sites like OC Talk Radio.
Well, that's interesting. And when I was talking with Jill earlier this afternoon in preparation for next week's interview, what we were talking about is that that salespeople today have to do something different.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
It's not just a matter of calling more people faster, because what's happening, and Jill pointed out a very interesting thing. She said, the next time you talk to a sales manager or a CEO of a company, and they say, I want my people to do more calling, what she suggested that I do is ask them, how they deal with voicemails from salespeople who are trying to call them.
Hmm. Yeah.
She said they're going to suddenly realize that they, with glee, erase those voicemails very, very quickly.
Well, because it's what Marshall McLuhan and others talked about in the 70s, it's information overload. You know, with this new technology has come the ability to reach a multitude of people, millions of people, eons of people. And so we get overburdened with it. As much as we want to reach out and connect, as much as we don't want to be siloed, as you said, and stuck in our own little corner by ourselves, as much as we want to reach out to the world, we're also immediately putting up walls to filter through all that. We filter through our email. We screen our phone calls. We do all these various things here. So it is difficult to get through. And one of the powers of this medium is just that. It's an easy, unobtrusive way to reach people at their desk. They're listening to something. They're there. They can listen in the background. And if they find it interesting, they can chat with you. They can connect with you. They can send emails with you. But even more importantly, what you're getting at, I think, is the power of this, and this is going to sound silly, but as a prospecting tool. Let's say that you are an attorney, you're an accountant, and you're the best accountant in some specialization. You know, you specialize in something that nobody else does. One of the power of hosting a radio show is you get to demonstrate that expertise. It helps brand you as the guy who does that. And it, by definition, gives you a leg up on your competition who doesn't do any of that, who doesn't offer any of that advice or information. But more importantly, it gives you a way to talk to people. You call up somebody and say, hey, I want to come and meet you to sell you something, forget it. You tell them that you want to invite them to come to your thing, and they know that that's subtle, your seminar so that you can sell them something, forget it. But if you call up somebody and say, I don't want to sell you anything. I just want to spend a few minutes getting to know you, pick your brain, and share that with my network of people, my community. Would you object to that? Of course not. Who doesn't object to free publicity, and who wouldn't want to reach a whole new group of people? So it's a great icebreaker, a way to get to people and say, I'm not asking for anything except a few minutes of your time to talk, to share, and to get to know you. And maybe somewhere down the road, you'll find that there's a connection here. If not, I've done my part. I'm still gathering information and shedding it and sharing it to my community here.
Yeah, I think that's an important piece, is that it's number one, it's gathering information from my audience.
Mm-hmm.
And then number two, it's sharing it with others in the audience. And really what I begin to see is it's facilitating a conversation.
I see and sense, as I think you do, you're more in touch with the community than I am. I mean, I'm out there trying to promote this thing, but you've been doing this for a long time. You certainly have a lot of connections. Wouldn't you agree that today people are looking for a different way of business with the collapse of everything that we knew, the sort of Gordon Gekko, Wall Street, me first, you know, it's me versus the other guy. That sort of mentality is wobbly right now. And I see more and more people willing to join groups, share connections, crawl out of their cave and say, maybe we can all circle the wagon and help each other, like pilgrims in the old days, you know?
Well, in talking with Jill, one of the things that she said was that in her experience, her sales training business went down.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of years ago, people didn't want to spend money on sales training. They believed they didn't need sales training.
Right.
And she began to write this book. And she said because she felt called to write it. She mm-hmm. looked around. She didn't see anybody else in the marketplace who was doing the kind of things that she wanted to help people do.
Mm-hmm.
So she wrote this book, and this book has become her radio show.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
This book has become her entrance. Somebody calls her, says, I'd like to talk with you. She says, have you read my book? No. She pops a book in the mail and ships it to him.
Right.
She's not looking at the book to produce revenue for her any more than I'm looking at this radio show to produce revenue for me.
Right.
It becomes a way of introducing myself and getting a conversation going.
And it allows you to take your passion. You know, you're obviously very passionate about what you do in many sense. And I hope this doesn't offend you or sound strange, but you have a spiritual calling to this. I mean, you really want to help people. And I run into more and more of that. That's refreshing. You know, I'm cynical. I'm from the old school. immediately I want to know what's in it for you or what's in it for me, you know, and I hear more and more people, just like you're talking about with Jill, just like you're talking about in your own experience, saying, you know, I've been through all this, I've weathered the storm, and I think I've learned something. I think I've gathered some interesting facts, and rather than hold on to them for my benefit only, I'd like to share them with the world. Maybe that'll benefit me, maybe that won't. But whether it does or not, I feel compelled to share that information. And I'm convinced that if we all did that, if we all helped each other a little bit, we'd get through this a lot better and come out on the other side in a better position. I mean, don't you sense that somehow has changed?
Oh, absolutely. Because you can't be on this radio show and expect to have an audience if you're just talking about yourself.
Yeah, right, right.
Because it's only a click away to get rid of you.
Yeah, right, that's a good point.
Nobody's going to download an hour radio show if they believe it's going to be all about you.
Right. I was just going to say, there's a movement afoot, I think, to change the way business is done. And maybe I'm idealistic. Maybe I'm just because I suddenly have found my new religion, my new passion for this new medium, this new type of social medium, this new type of community. But that's what I've been reading about forever. It's all about creating communities through the internet and through that sharing and exchanging information and the idea that together we can help each other and that somehow we can do that in a non-threatening way that doesn't, you know, I'm not giving up any state secrets. I'm not helping my competitor beat me. That somehow together we are better than we are alone. And that's why I got into this. I could stay on and do marketing. That's why I suspect you and so many of the others are doing these shows, because you really want to gather information and share it with people.
Well, and I also find that the radio show is a way of getting the conversation started. But it's also important to do what I do, which is to call the pilgrims, the fellow pilgrim. Once you're on my radio show, you're a fellow pilgrim
right.
on the 405.
Right.
And call them together from time to time, just to let them get to know each other, to share with what they've done, and also to see some of the fantastic things that are going on in Orange County. I mean, the efforts of people in Orange County are changing the world. Telecom is being changed.
Absolutely.
The way that, that electricity is going to be generated for cell phones is being changed. The way that iPhone and iPad apps are being built.
Biology companies, everything. Yeah, and I think that's another thing. I'm stunned since I started that. I started this because I believed in the idea that Orange County and other places needed a soapbox, needed a community forum. We don't have a town square anymore. We don't have a place where we all gather and talk about things and share stuff. So I thought this could be that sort of medium. And I saw that there was a tremendous need for businesses out there who can't get interviewed any other way, who can't get their message out. This takes the middleman out of the equation. You don't have to beg some TV or radio station to give you a couple minutes of access, particularly when those forums are shrinking. You know, the access points are limited. So all of those reasons I got into this. But having said it, it's what you're talking about. It's that idea of, I love the name of your show, The Pilgrim on the 405. Aren't we all pilgrims out there? Trying to find our way in the wilderness here, and wouldn't we be better if we all hook up together and share information? And out of that, I guess the long-winded way of saying it is, I've learned it ain't as bad as the media portrays it. This 24-hour, 7 news cycle and these antagonistic political parties that only want to make it look worse so you'll vote the current guy in, throw the bums out, and bring them in. Whichever side you're on, left or right, it seems like you're all about just throwing the other guy out, means that all they do is amplify the negative news and amplify the bad news. And through your show and others, I'm hearing it ain't as bad as everybody thinks. I'm hearing, even in the midst of the Great Recession, there are people doing great things. And that's refreshing for me to hear. And I don't get that through traditional media.
Yeah. And you know, I was thinking about what we're looking for right now, because I was talking to a fellow, is in a networking group with me, and we've been working on some projects together. They come from his company comes from Mexico and South America, and we've been talking about helping companies expand into Latin America
sure.
and Central America, and so I think what you and I picked up on was how significant it is. That companies here in Orange County, how significant is it for them to begin to look at how they would expand into Mexico Latin and Central America.
Mm-hmm.
When you realize that the GDP of Mexico is larger than the GDP of Canada.
You told me that, and I still find that amazing and hard to believe. You know, there's a marketplace I never hear people talk about. Everybody's hot about China, and in fact, we started a new show just today about how do you do business in China here on OC Talk Radio. And I know that's a hot topic, but what you opened my eyes to, and your guests and your connections did, it's a bigger world than just China right now. As big as that market is and as hot as that's growing, what about the rest of the world? And the stuff that we're creating here is still state-of-the-art, cutting-edge. Nobody else is doing it. And we're all throwing our hands up saying, gee, nobody in America wants to buy it. Nobody in America has the money to invest in it. What about the rest of the world? Brazil and places like that that are just booming. And this medium, again, it's not just a community forum. It's a community forum that also has the benefit of reaching the entire world. If you want to communicate to people around the globe, what better way than the Internet?
Well, one of the things that I found very interesting was one of our guests on the show wanted to expand, and if you go back and listen to the other shows, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But he wanted to expand his business into Mexico and Latin America and Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And what he needs is he needs to identify qualified, capable, competent, trustable representatives,
right.
Distributors.
It's a different world.
He doesn't, Latin America.
Right. Who's going to take his product into the door? Who's going to explain to him the different mores and business practices there? Exactly.
That's correct. And so he's at a loss. He's willing to fly down there to meet with people, but he didn't have anybody to contact.
Right.
Well, another person that I interviewed on SLMA radio, that's her job is to make those kind of contacts.
Yeah, right.
She has contacts all over Europe, all over Brazil, all over Latin and Central America. And they're going to get hooked up. And what's going to happen is he's going to be able to use her at a reasonable cost to call those companies in their language, speak to those distributors based upon the template that he gives her. And he's going to be able to double, triple his business by expanding into those marketplaces.
So there you brought out three interesting things. Number one, even in bad times, there are opportunities. If you're willing to get outside of your box, as we all say, and look around. Okay, so he identified another opportunity. The second thing is, okay, so how do I find somebody who can, how do I find that middleman? How do I find that bridge to where I want to go? I don't know anything about Latin America. So he found through a community, through a network, he stumbled upon somebody he would have never, ever, ever found any other way. And three, now, you know, the power of that new community, that new connection that he's made opens up an entire different sales channel for him with new opportunities. And it was all done through network and Internet.
It's phenomenal. That's right. And it was done because we're building that community on octalkradio.net.
I was watching a thing on ants the other day, and maybe this is a terrible analogy, but my daughter was fascinated with these army ants and how they overcome every obstacle, little tiny ants, and how they just march through the jungle in South America, I think it is. And they can overcome anything because they literally link together and form a bridge, a living bridge over a stream, over a chasm, over any gap. They get around it because they literally hook together and let the others climb on their backs. Isn't that kind of what we're all trying to do here? Isn't that the power of networking and community and communication tools like this one?
Yeah, what one thing that I have found, I was talking to a group of people talking about the management program that I do for people who were meeting today, and one of the things that I said was, you know, you sometimes hear people saying business is hard right now. It's very difficult to find business. And what I asked them to consider was changing the language that they're using.
Right.
Because it's not hard like a wall or a brick is hard. It's not hard like a concrete floor is hard. Change the language. What it really is saying is we're saying we haven't found a way to accomplish the goals that we want. We haven't found a way to find the results that we want.
We haven't found a path, and you're a pathfinder. Just as you helped connect two people together who would have never met each other, the guy who wants to go to South America and the woman who's looking for clients to advise about South America, you hook them together. That you were the common link in that bridge. Maybe you get something out of it. Maybe you don't. You probably don't in the short run. But what you do get is part of now, you become part of their circle of advisors and friends. And that, in the long run, we got to all believe that's going to benefit all of us, that that somehow comes back. Maybe that's touchy-feely. Maybe that's spiritual. Maybe that's new age or whatever, or old age. I don't know. Whatever it is, it's a different way of doing business than I've ever seen before. And it's a refreshing change from the isolated, screw you, it's me against the world, and, you know, zero-sum game. I win, you lose.
Yeah, and I think that's where what we're finding with the Internet, there's no question that if you watch what is being said, a lot of the Internet is giving away a lot of things for free.
Yep.
Now, in training my salespeople, in my sales training, what we always have to do is we're not going to do a lot of free consulting.
No.
We're not going to get in there and do things with the hope that maybe they'll do business with us if we're really nice.
Right, that's different.
We get very
right.
clear about what we're giving away in order to exchange or get this conversation going.
Yeah,
and that's something for free. Just like what we're doing here is we're doing something for free to get the conversation going, to find out what needs are out there,
yep,
to explore those possibilities.
That's the currency of the Internet. You know, there is a current, both an electric current and a financial current, and the only stake in the game, the only buy-in to this giant poker game we're all playing, is that you got to put something on the table. And you put something on the table, show me what you know, share a little bit of it, share a little bit about you, and open yourself up and put that out there and be willing to, you know, reach us. If you hear, see a need that you can plug, jump in and help some people there in the hope that that will come back to you tenfold. That's not just only a very religious idea. It's the idea that built this country as we marched across the Great West. And it's, I think, the way that they've done business in Asia for a long time. It's all based on relationships. You can't just march over to China and say, hi, I want to do business with you. They want to get to know you. They want to take you to dinner. They expect you to take them to dinner. There's an exchange that goes place. And out of that offering comes a reply. And out of that reply starts a conversation, which may lead down a path towards mutual benefit. If not, you've made a connection, and then it's a question of your connection thinking of you when they're in with somebody else. It's creating a network. That takes time, that takes effort, and that's what's hard. You know, what's hard about business today is you got to get off your butt and do something. You got to get out and network again. You got to put together social media and throw offerings out to the Internet here. You've got to bait the hook. You can't just sit there and collect the checks anymore. And I think that's what's hard.
Well, let me challenge that word hard again.
Okay.
Isn't it risk? It's taking a risk.
Oh, sure. And that, isn't that the hardest thing of all to do? To either change or to make yourself vulnerable? To put yourself out there and try something different? That's scary.
I don't know that that's hard. I think it could be threatening or frightening.
Right.
I don't know that it's hard.
I think
it's
that's
just
what
scary.
And I think that's why people misuse the term. I'm with you. I think they substitute hard for it. Hard in their mind is I got to do something different. I got to learn a new way. I got to get out and try stuff. I got to get out into the world. I got to connect with the world through the Internet. I got to learn some new technologies. Maybe they use the word hard when hard really should mean something that you can't overcome. I can't get through a brick wall, but I can climb
right.
over it.
That's right. And once you get beyond that use of that word hard to substitute for risky, then it becomes something I can do something about.
Right.
I can make the choice. I know it's a risk. I know I'll be vulnerable. I might fail. But isn't that what business and entrepreneurship is about, is taking risks?
I'll tell you an interesting story, and I won't tell you who it is, but I had a host on this show who was telling me he was a service professional, and he was saying that he was having trouble getting appointments. And now he came back after doing this, and he found that this hosting a show opened him up to a whole new world of possibilities. Suddenly he could talk to anybody. Everybody was willing to talk to him if he was willing to put it out on the radio and give them a copy later that they could put on their website and send to their network. Who would refuse that? So now what he was complaining about, first he was complaining he didn't have any opportunities to talk to anybody, couldn't get an appointment. Now he's talking about how hard it is. Gee, all I do is go talk to people all week. And I laughed. I said, you know, listen to yourself. If I'd said this 6 months ago, that your biggest challenge is how many people you have to talk to and how hard it is to fit them all in. You know, geez, we should all have those kinds of difficulties here. And he laughed. But, you know, it's so, if you're in that mentality of thinking things are hard, you can always find something hard to,
that's right,
hard
that's
to
right,
do.
That's right. It's simply finding a system, finding a way that will get me the results that I want, that I'm looking for. And that very often, if I'm not getting those results, it means changing my behaviors.
Right.
Coming up with different behaviors. And sometimes those behaviors, I'm going to make the wrong choice and I'm going to come up with equally disappointing results. So I stop and try some more. It's not hard in so much as it is risky. It makes me vulnerable. I might be embarrassed. I might fail. Nevertheless, I can pick up the phone and keep doing it because it's not hard. It simply makes me a little uncomfortable.
What's hard? If there's a brick wall in front of me and I run my head into it three times and realize that I'm not going to break through, is it harder to climb over the wall or is it harder to just sit down and give up? It seems like it's easier to sit down and give up, but man, that then things really get hard.
That's right. Well, listen, Paul, this has been great. I really appreciate you taking some time to come out from behind the veil back there, come out of the Wizard of Oz tent, and share with us a little bit about what you have learned about social marketing, social networking, this new media, and the role of radio information giving in building the network that's going to propel us into this whole new world of sales and marketing and helping businesses in Orange County thrive.
Well,
so thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you. And let me just put a plug in again for you and all the other pilgrims. You really are a pilgrim. When I met you and you said that's what you call yourself, I smiled because I knew right away that you got this new medium, that you were willing to take a risk and put yourself out there, that you were willing to gather information and help and share it to other people for no immediate gain other than you believe that's the way business should be. And you truly are a pilgrim, not just on the 405, but in this new medium. So thank you very much for being who you are and for continuing your pilgrimage here on our station.
Well, we will continue that. And I let those listeners know we've been interviewing Paul Roberts, the man behind the veil, a man with his fingers on the knobs at octalkradio.net. And for those of you who have been joining us late in this pilgrimage, all the shows, and I think there must be 30 or 40 people that we've interviewed in the past 6 months, they're all available at octalkradio.net under the show The Pilgrim on the 405, or you can go to iTunes and subscribe to Pilgrim on the 405 podcast, and there are various other places on the Internet. Also, if you have a story that you want to tell, get in touch with me. It's a Will Crist, WILLCRIST, Will Crist, at, and here comes the difficult part now. Are you ready? WillChrist.com. Send me an email. Tell me what you want to talk about. Give me a time when we can talk, or call me at 949-355-6013. 949-355-6013. Take a look at what we're doing, and join us next week for another set of Pilgrim Talks, and especially I draw your attention to Jill Conrath, the author of Snap Selling, who will be interviewing on SLMA Radio on Thursday afternoon at 5 o'clock. So that's where we are today for Pilgrim Talks with the Pilgrim on the 405. Appreciate you being with us. Look forward to talking with you next week. Go out there and find some people to share your information with and find out how you can help them.
You've been listening to the one and only Pilgrim on the 405, the only person out there gathering information and sharing it weekly with all those interested in a better way and a new day in business. Right here on octalkradio.net. Thank you. Be sure and stay tuned for a special edition of Critical Mass coming up next, where they talk to Dr. Coley from Cal State Fullerton's School of Marketing and Business about the changes he sees in branding and marketing today. Coming up next.